Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The power of a letter to evoke emotion and experience far from place and time is one of the miracles of communication. We explored that on Veterans Day this year. First Marine Lieutenant Michael Scotty read this letter he wrote on March 29th, 2003, at the beginning of the Iraq War.
Dear Mom, Pop, Dave, and Dan, today is the first day of outgoing mail since the war has begun. I just want to let you know that I'm still alive and in one piece. My battalion has been heavily engaged for the last 5 days. We have fought 4 intense battles and have done well. There have been a few close calls, but we are fine. I have seen things that are almost hard to believe. The great warrior Geronimo once said, "In war, bad things happen." This is definitely the truth. On one particular afternoon, outside of some insignificant town, things got particularly hairy. 3 rockets were shot at my vehicle, the command vehicle. But luckily, the Iraqis aren't very good shots. We could hear rounds pinging off the sides. Our perimeter was taking fire from 3 sides, and we were not really set up in the defense yet. We had just halted our convoy for a few minutes when the Saddam Fedayeen attacked from the north, south, and west. I jumped on the radio and started calling in a wall of steel rain on the men that were trying so hard to kill us. The next morning we attacked the town that was housing the Fedayeen. We won. So far, I have fought in the Battle of Anazaria, Al-Garaf, Al-Shatra, and another engagement in the mud on the side of the road. I now truly know what it is like to literally be fighting for your life. None of us ate or slept for the entire 4 days, and combat is a feeling of constantly being unsafe. You know when a fight is about to break out, and you can sense it. War smells like a putrid mix of death, burning flesh, burning tires, and gunpowder. It tastes like chewing tin foil. And I promise not to be a complete animal when I get back. I have seen the horrors of war, and accepted them for what they are. And one day, this will all be done, and the 5 of us will be drinking wine together and eating veal and tiramisu. I look forward to that every day. Tell everyone I said hello. Much love, Michael T.
Veteran and former First Lieutenant Michael Scotty. Well, takeaway listener Mary DiCillo heard Michael's voice, and it reminded her of a combat veteran, Phil Lippens, who she met when he was her student at Salem State University in Massachusetts. Phil served in Iraq from August of 2006 to November of 2007. He came home with PTSD and a traumatic brain injury, both of which he deals with every day. Well, Mary wrote us to say how much she has learned from Phil and wanted us to meet him, so we invited them both into the studio. And Mary wanted to tell us what first impressed her about Phil.
I think there are 3 things getting to know him since last November. I think the first is his courage, his curiosity, his intellectual curiosity, and his compassion. And having been part of the 82nd Airborne in Iraq during the surge, and it was his openness, I think, of sitting in a classroom. I had him first met him at a public gathering and then where he spoke on a panel, and then I saw him. He was in a class coincidentally with me during the winter session. And his capacity to observe and express himself, both written and verbal, were quite remarkable. And he's really helped me to understand as much as a civilian can what it's like to be in combat and the needs of combat veterans. So he's inspired me.
So Phil, it sounds like you walked into this classroom and almost immediately the student became the master, to use a phrase from Star Wars. What is it about your combat training that causes you to embrace this idea of mentoring? It's got to be more than just you want to help the veterans coming back. There's a skill here.
Well, I think that the way that I've looked at my education process is really it's the second half of my mission. I think a lot of the times education and the use of the GI Bill is separated from your term of service. You do your years in the military and then you get out and then you have an opportunity to go to school. Instead of keeping those things separated, I blended them together and looked at it as this is now the second half of my mission. Which is why I've taken such an interest in the material And I know that this is a big step in the process to be able to help other veterans and really any trauma victims, but especially student veterans.
Phil, how do you have confidence as a student and moving forward in your life, having both traumatic brain injury and PTSD, in the sense that you've got to have this lingering idea that at any moment something within you will basically sabotage what you're trying to do, either cause you to miss a thought or miss something that's going on, or that the setbacks that go with PTSD will derail you at any moment? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think that that does happen, but I believe that, you know, a setback, really all that is a setback, but it doesn't stop you from moving forward. And there's opportunity there to practice resiliency and to utilize the strengths that you do have. And I think it's more of a motivating force than anything else. I kind of look at it along the lines of there's not much of a choice but to move forward. You know, it'd be easy to stay where you're at and become a victim of the trauma and the circumstances that you find yourself in. But not only are you not helping yourself, but you're not going to be helping anybody else either if you do that. So,
Mary, you can hear Phil talking, and you can probably see his face as he's talking right now. I can't. When you say that you recognized Phil's courage in class, is it when he pushes through these kinds of setbacks? Is that what you're talking about, how he does that?
That's exactly what I mean. There occasionally over the last year, Phil has sort of gone dark for a few weeks, and you know, we've been out of touch, and then he'll send me an email and say, you know, I've just had a kind of a bad patch. But it is, he feels he has no choice. This is something, his next mission is to be the best person that he can be and to, you know, use what he has to in service of other people. And it is, the courage is for Phil and all these people, veterans who have had these this TBI and PTSD. Each day, as you described, John, can be unpredictable, but he sees something larger. I think that's the thing in our conversations. There's always the next thing to do. It's a remarkable thing.
Well, it's a worthy mission for all of us, certainly. Mary DiCillo, as a listener to this program, we thank you so much for sharing that story, bringing this to us, introducing us to Phil. You're also a teacher, Mary. Phil Lippens is an Iraq War combat veteran who served from August of 2006 to 2007, specialist for most of that deployment, got promoted to sergeant a couple of months before he returned to the States, now dealing with the consequences of that war. Mary DiCillo and Phil Lippens, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.